to start off by saying what I'm gonna be sharing today is just as much for me as it is for each and every one of you. Because it's an area in our lives that we can all improve on. It's an area in our lives that we can all step it up another notch. Even though we may be walking in it to a certain degree, but there's always higher levels, higher dimensions that you can go into. You know, and one of the things we've learned from the apostle is that we never want to stay on the same level. You know, water that's not moving becomes stagnant and begins to stink. You know, but running water, it creates a purifying effect, a moving effect. You know, so we want to always stay fresh. Always stay fresh in the things of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to be talking on the subject today of honor. But the title of the subject is Don't Let Your Apostle Become Too Familiar to You. Don't let your apostle, the apostle of this house, don't let him become too familiar to you. Amen. A lot of us have been members here for years, some not so long, but it's so easy to allow, you know, I've been married for almost 35 years, you know, and I thank God for that. But even, you know, in marriage, I have to honor my wife. I have to let her know how much I appreciate her being in my presence, being a helpmeet to me, being somebody I could depend upon, who's always there for me, you know. And in spiritual things, God will always send you to a particular brook. I use that expression because he sent Elijah. He said, I'm going to send you to a certain brook. And there I'm going to sustain you. Yes, yes. God has sent us here to Word Life Christian Center. And when I say sent, you actually planted here. Yes. You really just can't not just join this church. You got to be planted, yes. You know. And you got to be planted like a tree by the rivers of water that's not going to be moved. And not let situations or circumstances sway you. You know, sure, the wind may blow, but when you get your feet dug deep into the soil of this ministry, you're going to be solid. And no matter what hurricane comes up, what flood comes up, you're going to stand. You're going to stand. And believe you me, the tests are going to come. And so it's so very important that we take heed to the things that our apostle has been sharing with us. We need to take the most earnest heed because he's a watchman. And a watchman sits upon a tower. And because he operates in the apostolic, there is a heaven to earth connection. And he sees what's happening and what's taking place in heaven. And he takes what he sees and he now shares and informs and instructs and give us the nutrients, the spiritual nutrients we need so that we can survive and not only just survive, but strive, thrive. You know, that we walk in total abundance, total peace, and total liberty. And in return for that, we're to honor him. We're to honor him. And that's so very important. Let me get into the lesson because I don't want to, I just wanted to kind of give you a kind of a prelude. It is required by God that you respect and honor every life source. It is required by God that you respect and honor every life source. Let me give you a definition of a life source. A life source is a being, an entity, a giver or an originator of life, a releaser of life, okay? In direct reference to this work, a life source could actually be a physical father or mother because they give life to their children. You know, if you have children, you're a life source because you give and you nurture life, okay? But from a spiritual point of view, the Bible says that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And he gave his life for us. Jesus is the principal or the primary life source because he is life. But he said that he gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, they are life sources, and they release life. Every time the apostle gets up here on Wednesdays and on Sundays or on special meeting, he's releasing life, okay? And as I stated earlier, it is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. So we're going to be talking about properly honoring our life source, properly honoring our apostle. And I said, you know, this message is just as much for me as it is for you, because we can all step it up a notch in our level of honor. And what I mean by honor is like when a special meeting is called and the texts go out, the emails go out, you know, and he's like how can I use this word? You know, sending out invitations to the marriage feast. You know, he's bidding people to come. You know, I just heard from heaven. I got some good news, you know. And you see, when you let him become too familiar to you, oh, well, I'll get my note from somebody else, or I'm tired today, you know, or it's been a busy day, or and you take it too commonly, too casually, you know. That's wrong. We cannot let other ministries come here and soak up the anointing that God has placed primarily for us. We can't let that happen, Word of Life. You know, I'm calling you to the carpet, and I'm saying this in fear and trembling, but we have to do better. I have to do better. You know, because God could have placed this anointing anywhere. Anywhere, but he chose to place it here in Darrell for us. And if we don't avail ourselves to it, we're the ones that's going to be missing out, because the trials and the tests are coming. They have come and they are coming. We're living in the last days, people, whether or not you realize it or not. And the Bible says in the last days, there'll be perilous times. You know, we need to make sure that we're connected properly, connected properly. So when the storms of life come, so when the floods come, so when the rains come and they beat upon our house, because our house is founded upon a rock and connected to an apostle, a life source, we're now able to stand and stand strong, people, because not everybody is equal. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're all saved. A lot of us are filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's different levels. There's different ranks. There's protocol that must be followed. And when you honor the ranks, you know, if you're in the military, how many men in here have been in the military? Raise your hand. I want to see my military men. All right, I see a few hands. How many women? No, I don't want to exclude women. I know we had females in the military too. Okay, praise God. Amen. In the military, you follow protocol. There's order. And you see, I use that illustration a lot, because in the body of Christ, there should be order. Order. You know, God is a God of order. Okay? And by saying that, it's so very important that we understand that when orders are given, assignments should be followed. You know, whenever I'm given an assignment by an apostle, I don't take it lightly. Because, you know, one thing I've learned is if you mess up on an assignment, you might not get another one. You know, so you have to be mindful, because, you know, God is working on all of us, and he's striving to bring us to perfection. Amen. Okay. Amen. God is life and has life, and he is the giver of life, and he gives life legitimately to all those who are eligible to be carriers or custodians of life. You know, that applies to our apostle. He's a giver of life. A life source possesses the God factor of reproduction. A life source possesses the God factor of reproduction. You know, anything that doesn't produce life needs to be cut off. I know he talked about a while back about the tree, when Jesus passed by the tree and he was looking for figs and there was no figs because the time of season was not yet. Jesus cursed the fig tree because, you know, he was expecting to have figs, but there wasn't any. It wasn't producing. You know, anything that doesn't produce is a dud. But our man of God is a producer of life. You know, he has that God factor of reproduction on the inside of us, and we do too. And it's so very important, as I said, that we honor those that produce and that give life. Amen. The greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. When you sow seeds of honor. Now, honor is not just sowing monetary, by sowing your finances, you know, by sowing into the man of God. But you honor him by obeying the words that comes out of his mouth. When you apply the principles, you take all of the concepts and the precepts and the revelations that comes forth from him, you honor him. The worst form of dishonor, the worst form of dishonor is when a man of God can stand at his pulpit week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and on special meetings, but you don't apply the principles that he's shown, you know, and you don't get the results that's in his life. We need to begin to see. You see, the reason why the balcony is not full and the back is not full is not the apostles' fault, because the word is coming forth. Manifestation is taking place. I can attest to that. So I know the word works. I know God is blessing. I know the fruits are being multiplied. But as we as a church as a whole, as we as individuals begin to allow God to manifest his presence and his goodness. You see, whenever God shows up, he never shows up empty-handed. He's always got benefits and blessings for us. You know, and you see, we need to put God on display. You know, and everything that we do, we need to put God on display. And you see, the sinners, they need to see something. You know, and they need to see God manifesting his presence and his goodness in us on daily and continual basis. You know, and it's just, you know, at work, you know, people at work knew that, you know, a little water touched my house during the flood. And so they curious to see how I'm progressing. You know, I go into work this past week and say, how things are coming? I say, I'm complete. They say, what you mean? I say, my sheetrock is up. It's painted. Well, it's hung and it's floating and it's painted. My floors are done. They finished my floors Wednesday. You know, we're moving furniture back in the house. You know, and then I heard another illustration where two people were talking. They were looking at all the receipts and stuff. And one lady was saying, you know, it was gonna cost her like $7,000 or $8,000 to get her house painted. And I'm saying, Lord, you bless me with a check to get the paint. And then the Lord told me to call a few brothers up and have a paint party. I painted my house for under $500, you know? You know, with the wisdom of God, you know? But you see, where I'm coming with this is that, you know, people would just say, wow, you back up. I say, yeah, I'm fully functional. But not only that, I want to say this, you know, it was on the increase. I mean, every appliance we have is going to be replaced. Not because it wasn't working, but because as the apostle said, it's got to be better. God's got to have increase, and that's what's happening. You know, but people got to see that. People have got to see the goodness of God. Amen. Let me move on. Okay, honor is a very important aspect in human existence, but Even more so for Christians, I find that in the body of Christ corporately, there's a tremendous lack of teaching on the subject of honor. This results is that there being a tremendous amount of misunderstanding of what honor is and how to show honor towards a life source. And it's in the body of Christ. You see, because dishonor, listen to this, dishonor is an attack against God's sovereign existence. When you walk in dishonor, but you see, God is a God of honor. And the men and the women of God that he's placed in positions of leadership, they're to be honored. They're to be honored. Matter of fact, let's look at some scriptures right quick. Let's go to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and we're going to be looking at chapter 9. We're going to be looking at Saul, and Saul, right before Saul gets Samuel lays hands on him, Saul was sent out on an assignment by his father to find some donkeys or some asses. And he took out went with some servants. In First Samuel chapter 9, verses 3, it says, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, was lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of thy servants with thee, and arise and go and seek the asses." In other words, go find our animals. We need them. They're valuable to us. Go find them. And so Saul and the servant went out looking for the asses. Verse 6 says, "And he said unto him, behold, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man." I'm going to pause there. A man of God. Y'all see that in your Bibles? A man of God who is an honorable man. Men and women of God who stand in positions of authority, especially apostolic authority, they're honorable. Okay, they deserve honor. Here we see Saul, and his servant, they're seeking the asses, and the statement is made. It says, and he said unto him, "Behold, now there in this city there's a man of God, and he is an honorable man." Now, what they're going to require of him? And it says, "And all that he says cometh surely to pass." Hello, hello. Hello? All that he says surely cometh to pass. Okay? There have been things I've heard the apostle say years ago. And I remember this was back during the camp meeting times and going back to Raymond and Kenneth Hagin Ministries. He would say things. I remember, I'm going to say this, right after the day after he got finished ministering on a Tuesday, which was the largest offering at Rhema on a Tuesday at that time. I was at that meeting. That Wednesday morning, he was going into the morning session, and I ran into him, and I was walking beside him. And I looked at him, and I said, "Pastor," I said, "the ministry will never be the same again," because he preached a dynamic message. It was off the chain. The chain couldn't contain what he ministered. Half of the message, I was in tears, just in awe. But he didn't even address that. Okay, he didn't even address that. He looked at me and he shared something with me, and it was a part of his assignment that God was instructing him and getting him in positions to where his ministry could be expanded. He told me, he said, I just sense in my spirit that God's going to hook me up with Kenneth Copeland, and I'm going to be doing some ministering with Kenneth Copeland. At that time, far as I know, I don't even think Kenneth Copeland knew who Apostle was. Might have, but this was the first time he had that big public appearance in front of 20,000 people at the Tulsa Convention Center. And I looked at him, I said, "Yeah, Pastor, I'm kind of like Brother Charles, you know, yeah, you know, all right, yeah, Pastor, yeah, you know, and I'm believing with you, but, you know, okay, you know." But 2-3 years later, there he is in Eagle Mountain ministering for Kenneth Copeland every year, for the first of the year, for several years. What was he, you know, I'm just using that as an illustration, you know, but what he says comes to pass. You know? So he deserves honor. He deserves honor. Let me move on. Okay, let's go back to 6 again. And he said unto them, behold, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he says surely comes to pass. Now let us go hither, peradventure, that he can show us our way that we should go. You see, that's his assignment, for him to show us the way that we need to go, what pathways we need to take to get to our wealthy place. He's pointing us to the pathway. You know, if you were at World Shakers this past Thursday and Friday, you learn about the Godfather of Prosperity. Yeah. Praise God. You know, but if you weren't there, you missed out. You know, and one thing I've learned, everything builds upon itself. When you took calculus 3. If you didn't take trigonometry and geometry and Cal 1 and Cal 2, you're not going to succeed in calculus 3. Because the principles build upon itself. Every formula, you know, everything you learn is a building process. The same thing is in the spirit world. It builds. So every time you miss a service or you miss an apostolic decree, you know, that's something now that you got to go back and learn, because you can't, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to do it, you know, one step at a time, you know. Now, if I was young, I'd leap down. But, you know, there's no way that you could, any step that you miss, you got to go back and take that step again. Any step you miss. So you don't want to miss any steps. You don't want to, you can't take the elevator to the top. You got to take the stairs, and you got to take one stair at a time. And that's so very important, because God is bringing us to our destiny. And we're living in the finest time that in the face of this earth. We're living in the greatest hour, you know. So you got to be excited about what God is doing. You've got to be excited, because, you know, we're seeing manifestations and demonstrations take place that I've never seen before. You know, I've been saved for a long time. You know, I got two good friends sitting on the front row. I've been knowing them. Matter of fact, one of the young ladies on the front row introduced me to the Holy Spirit. You know, introduced me. You know, I went to a Bible study, and I was walking away, and she stopped me, and she says, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, no, what are you talking about? And she began to share with me the Holy Spirit, you know, and my life has not been the same since, you know, but it's a process. It's a process. You know, once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I had to learn how to grow, you know, and then it got to the point where now I needed to be pastored. I'll never forget, same friend, my wife and I, we were having some growing pains in our marriage, and she recommended us to go see the apostle. So we went, saw the apostle, and he looked at me and said, son, you need to be pastored. He says, I see you have a call on your life, you know, but it needs to be nurtured. You know, you don't have to leave your church, but you can come and you can sit and you can listen and just sit down and hear what I got to say. And my life has not been the same since, you know, and I'm not going nowhere, because God has assigned me here, you know. And see, that's the kind of tenacity you have to have, you know, when you find where God has placed you and he's planted you. Like I said, there is a brook, and that brook will sustain you. Okay. There have been times in my life when I was working. I don't know if anybody have work where they do things where all of your, everything you do is scrutinized by the EPA and the DEQ, you know, all the federal agencies. Well, that's one of the things I do. Well, on my job years ago, there were some discrepancies and some falsification of some data that was being done in the department that I worked in. After the investigation was over with, seven of the coworkers I was working with that day, each and every one of them got escorted up to HR and was terminated. I was the only person left in that department that day. All to the glory of God. And guess what? Because I had got connected and I had started the school of ministry, I was a first year student. I was on an assignment because, you see, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, and that's why it's so important to find your place and start moving in your position. Because even before then, I'm kind of getting off the subject, but I'm still talking about honor. But you know, before that time, my wife and I, we had gotten married, and we had planned on going to Rhema Bible Christian Center. But the Lord said no, supernaturally. I was writing her a letter, and in the midst of writing the letter, I could not finish writing the letter. I was about to write, I plan on going to Rhema, and my hand started trembling, and my body started trembling. And then the next thing I know, I'm praising God. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, no. And so for several years later, we just kind of sat around, went to other churches in the local area. And I said, well, maybe you didn't have a call for me, Lord. Maybe there's nothing for me to do. But God was repositioning me. And so all of a sudden now I'm sitting and the apostle's telling me I need to be I need to be pastored. And then the same year I joined the church is the same year that the school of ministry started, some 23, 24, 25 years ago or whatever. And so now because I'm in the school and I'm on an assignment, you know, a situation happened at work, everybody gets fired, but I don't. You know, I could go on. I can really use up all my time just sharing testimonies, but I have to share certain things to let you see that what I'm saying is real. It's real. You know, it's real. You know, honor is a real thing, and we have to learn how to properly honor our men and women of God. Listen to this. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it inhibits, it hinders, it short circuits, it restrains, and it blocks the supernatural, the blessing of the and the flow that the blessing that want to flow down into your life. Let me read that again. Anytime there is dishonor displayed, it inhibits. That word inhibits means it hinders. It short circuit. You know, if you ever had a short circuit in a wire, if you had a radio and you plug it up and it start playing, all of a sudden it stopped. You wiggle the cord a little bit, it'll start playing, but if you touch it, it'll stop. A short circuit. You know, dishonor will short circuit the power of God from manifesting in your life. You know, God might want to do something, but he can't do it because something in your life is blocking the flow of power. You know, if people who disconnect, they may come to the apostle saying, I need you to pray with me. But because of the disconnection, it caused a short circuit and the prayers aren't effective. You know, or the apostle said, look, I can't do it. The Lord ain't permitting me to do it. You know, and you see, that's where honor comes in. Okay. Honor is you pick up your assignment and you run with it. And you stick with it. And then I remember the first job I had, they gave me what you call these things. It was before weed eaters. It was just a swing blade. And it was cutting around these big tanks around the refinery. And they say, you need to go around all the tanks because we can't get too close with these lawnmowers. So you cut. And I say, Lord, if I'm gonna cut grass the rest of my life, I'm gonna be the best grass cutter this place ever had. You know, but when you make that kind of commitment, you know, I didn't cut grass, but 2 or 3 days I got promoted to the warehouse. Then I got terminated, but everybody else who got terminated, they knew they were going to be losing their job at the end of the day, so they sat around and did nothing. They gave me a wire brush and some old rusty bolts. We need to get this rust off these bolts. And they were just giving us some busy work. And so I sat out on one of the buckets, took that wire brush, these big, all threads, actually bolts and nuts, and I'm scraping. Everybody else looking at me. I'm turning, getting all the rust off of that. They said, man, you lost your job. No, they got to pay you today. You know, stop. I said, no. Honest day's work for honest day's wages. You know, but My supervisor came up to me and said, look, if there was anything in my power that I could do to get your job back, I would, because you're a good worker. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, you know, God's going to take care of me. And no sooner than I could shake, you know, turn my head, you know, the Lord blessed me with a better job, you know. And it's been that way. But getting back to honor, I don't want to get off of honor. It's you know, you honor God, but then when God sends you to a place where the anointing is being poured out, to an apostolic house as we have, then it's imperative now that we learn how to honor. Because you see, God is restoring back to this, the church age, his government. And his government is going to be established with order. You know, just like the military, you know, you salute men who are higher ranked than you in the military. When you walk up to them and you're a sergeant and now here's a lieutenant, you know, you salute him, you know. And if you're a one-star general, a brigadier general, and a major general walks up, you salute him, because you're showing honor. You know, when the man of God comes to the house, there should not be anybody sitting down. Why? Because we show honor by respecting the anointing that's on his life. With that said, one of the things I've learned, I've been guilty of it, you know, but I try to make sure that every opportunity, you know, I'm not to let it slip. You know, when he finishes ministering at the end of the service, if he's over there talking, I'm standing up looking. I'm not, even though the food might be hot on the table, something he may say might change my life forever. And just by honoring him, because see, every time he opens his mouth, God comes out. Every time he opens his mouth, God comes out. You know, I mean, something good, you know. He could start, you know, be kidding around. All of a sudden, he'll shift, you know. And you see, getting back, that's why you don't want to let your man of God be too familiar to you. Because even though he's a man anointed, full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost. And so you can't, you know, you can't take that for granted. Amen. All right, let me move on. Because the people, let me finish reading this statement. I didn't even finish it. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it inhibits, it short circuits, it restrains, it blocks the supernatural of the blessing from flowing into your life. And that's so very important that we understand that we don't want that to happen in our lives. If you don't want to short circuit what the apostle is teaching, teaching us on the I amness of Christ, teaching on the supernatural, you know, if you don't want that to be short circuited, you must show honor. You must show honor. When the doors open, it's imperative that we be here, because believe me, your very life could depend on it. Your very life could depend on it. When you, you see, one of the things that I recognize is that God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. You know, you have not been called here by accident. And you got to recognize that. You know, we're here to undergird our apostle, to hold his hands up, you know, to wash his feet, or whatever it takes, to serve in the parking lot, to serve in the nursery, to work on the cameras. We're here to we're getting this word out to the masses, to the world. This is a worldwide ministry. Because of the internet, we're worldwide. You know, it humbles me to know just how many people listening to me talk right now. You know, I mean, me, you know, but it ain't because of me, you know, but it is because of me wanting to serve my man of God over the years that caused it to happen. Okay, you know, and each and every one of us, there's a gift. And this is something God has placed in me for years. And I always say it, there's a talent. You know, and you need to reach down and say, Lord, what is my purpose in serving this ministry and serving my man of God, so that I can honor him properly? You know, because there's going to be times when situations, circumstances may come up that I could lean on that honor. Because I've honored him, God will honor you. You know, because see, this is a God assignment. Okay, because we know finances are needed in the body of Christ in order to get the gospel preached. And so when you honor your man of God by holding your position and your assignment and getting aligned with the assignment. You know, you got to align yourself with the assignment. There was one time I got out of alignment. The apostle was traveling with another minister doing meetings in various places. I would try to make as many of the meetings as I can. And so whenever the minister would have a meeting, I was scheduled to go to the meeting. And so one time he had a meeting and I went, but the apostle wasn't there, you know. And then I said, well, maybe he was on vacation. So the next time I went, he wasn't there again. I didn't get the message, you know. And it threw me. It threw me for several months. Almost a year, because, you know, now you're hearing a different message, right. You know, and if you're not careful, it'll throw you away from your God-given assignment. And that's when I learned about what a spiritual father is. You know, so somebody who puts vision on the inside of you, somebody who aligns you properly. And even though you may have a gift and a calling, they can help bring it out. They can help bring it to fruition to where it could be a blessing to many. Amen. Let's move on. I have so much. I need to get to the scriptures that I know the Lord wanted me to read, because if I don't do that, then I will be messing up. All right. Amen. Amen. Give me a second here. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. This is actually the message right here. Everything else, like Pastor said, was just a preliminary. So we starting the message right now. And I only got 23 minutes to deliver it and 5 seconds. Matthew's, and see that, even that, you know, my eye is on that clock, you know. I'm, you know, that clock is my savior right now. You know, I'm not gonna be this. See, little things. It's those little things that you have to be mindful of. All right, let's go. Matthew says, and when he had come into his own country, it's talking about Jesus. Now he had just finished teaching about the kingdom, things pertaining to the kingdom. Pastor's been teaching us on that. But now he's coming to his own country, and he taught in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, hence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works. In other words, well, where did he get all this power from? He's working miracles and signs and wonders. You know, now this is own people. You know, Apostle is from Darrell. You know, he's Mr. Tom and Miss Gladys's son. You know, and a lot of people know him. You know, you know the family. We have a lot of family members and relatives and people who were connected and knew of the apostle before he was the apostle. Am I right? You know, so there could be a lot of familiarity there. You know, some people knew him before he was saved, you know, and knew his lifestyle. But, you know, God turned him around. All right. And you could become too familiar with that. OK. And see, that's what happened with Jesus. You know, you see, anything that happened with Jesus, we're not immune to it. You know, he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So get used to it. All right. Anyway, he says here, I say, from hence had he this wisdom and these mighty works. Verse 55, is this not the carpenter's son? You know, I just named his parents. You know, it's not his mother, you know, Mary and his brother and James and John and Simon and Judas. Are they not? Now they're coming too familiar with him, you know, and his sisters. Are they not all with us? Hence then had this man all these things. What they were saying, being a commoner, a local person, you know, how could all this ability come from him? You know, but somebody could come from out of town and bring a road show in, and we all flock to the meeting, you know, when God has placed an anointing in our midst, you know. You know, and the anointing is for us. It's for us. You know, his first assignment is Word of Life, is Daryl. You know, the Lord said, I'll do it in Daryl. Okay? And guess what? He wants to do it in you too, if you're connected properly, if you lined up properly, if you honor properly, you know, because as the apostle goes, so we go. I made this statement many times before. I'm still looking at the clock. I remember this man of God made this comment. He said he was looking out of his window and he saw some trains on a switching yard. And the engine was pulling the trains. And then they'd stop the engine. They'd disconnect some cars in the back. And I work in a plant. I see them switch cars all the time. And sometimes they'll disconnect them and those cars will still have a little momentum. They'll still be going, but they're disconnected from the engine. You know, a lot of times people disconnect and they still go moving forward, but they don't know that the momentum they had was because of what they were connected with. And then eventually they run out of steam and want to know what happened. You disconnected from your life source. That's what happened. You disconnected from the very thing that God had blessed you with to sustain you. So don't disconnect, people. Don't disconnect. I can't say it no other way. Don't disconnect. You know, because, you know, that's just the way it is. You don't do it. You know, amen. Thank you. I will. Amen. Glory to God. Let's move on. Okay, it says here in verse 57, and they were offended of him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. In other words, a prophet will get honor everywhere else. But for some reason, the people in his own community, his own hometown, his homies, the people he grew up with, they don't respect him. They see him as being too common. You know, no, and 1,000 times no. You see, when a man of God is anointed of God, he's full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't have time, but when Saul was anointed by Samuel, the Bible says that Saul was turned into another man. You know, because going back to the story I was reading, they went and I didn't because I got sidetracked. But after they went and they saw the man of God, they gave him an offering. An offering. Okay? You know, you never want to go before a man of God without an offering. You know, because, you know, anytime somebody is sowing into you their spiritual life, they're sowing into you the spirit, sowing into your spirit. You know, you it's called reciprocation. You want to reciprocate by sowing into them, you know, of your substance. You know, because it's a connection. You see, and I always say this, your money represents your time, your energy, you know, your sweat, you know, it's part of you. And so when you sow in that, you're sowing a part of yourself because you work for that, you know. But at the same time, you're recognizing that my job is not my source, you know. God is my source. And God has set a life source here in Daryl for me. So as I sow into that anointing now will propel me to millionaire status. Amen. Let's move on. I want to read the same verse of scripture from another translation. Let's see. Give me a second here. Yeah, the Message. Let's read it from the Message. Matthew's 13, 53, actually all the way to 58, if I make it there. It says, when Jesus finished telling these stories, he left there, returned to his hometown, and gave a lecture in the meeting house. He made a great hit, impressing everybody. He had no idea, we had no idea his words were so good, they said. How did he get so wise and get such ability? But in the next statement, they were cutting him down, dishonoring him. We've known him since he was a kid. He's the carpenter's son. We know his mother, Mary. We know his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. All his sisters are here, and they probably dated some of his sisters. You know, so we know him. We know him, you know. He says, who does he think he is? You know, who does he think he is? They got their noses turned out of joint. That's what the Message Bible says. They got, you know, they turned their noses up. You know, they say it got their noses turned out of joint. Verse 58 says, but Jesus said, a prophet is taken for granted in his own hometown and family. He did not many miracles there because of their sore or their hostile indifference. Don't become hostile indifferent to the apostle. You know, don't, you know, and I'm not saying you're doing it, but I don't even want to associate, be around, have no kind of fellowship with nobody that got any kind of hostility towards my apostle. And it ain't gonna happen. Not in my lifetime. I ain't gonna let it happen. Because I recognize that all that I am and all that God has blessed me with was because of my connection. So, I mean, you're not gonna cut me away from my life source. You're not gonna cut me. And you see, that needs to be out. And you see, the way you stay connected is to stay in honor. You know, don't be around people that's talking negativity towards the ministry or towards the man of God. All he talk about is money. Well, you don't have any, and I do, so be it, you know. I mean, since the flood, my wife and I, we've been blessed with over $10,000. You know, money just showing up. You know, God, he can use anybody, money from anywhere, from unexpected sources. I wouldn't even have expected it, but it came. Why? Because of connection and because of honor. Amen. Amen. 13 minutes. But Jesus, I'm going to read this again. But Jesus said, a prophet is taken for granted. Don't take what God has blessed us with for granted. Don't take it for granted. You know, one of the things I had to kind of come to realization of, and you know, if it appear I'm talking a lot about the apostle, it's because I am. Okay? You know, I'm just being honest with you. I make no bones about that. Because Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace I don't take in vain. And I know God has graced us with an anointing. And everything I've learned over the years, and watch his example, and watch how God has elevated his life and ministry, you know. And as I stay connected, you know, just like that engine in that yard, you know, as long as you stay connected, wherever the engine go, the caboose gonna end up making it out. Even if you're on the end of the line, as long as you stay connected, wherever that engine go, you going too. So just stay connected. Just stay connected. Wherever the engine go. But the minute you disconnect, you're going to start slowing up. Start slowing up. And eventually you're going to stop and wonder what happened. You know, you got disconnected from your life source. You know, I see a lot of people have. Most people I started out with in the school of ministry, when it was called the school of ministry, now it's Evan Word Training Center, I see them every now and then. And I sad to say, I ask them, I always ask them, what you doing since you left Word of Life? You been doing any ministry? No. If they did, they lost this church. Are they going from pillar to post? You know, it hurts me because, I mean, we were side by side. Larry, you know what I'm talking about. We were side by side, but they disconnected, you know? I felt at times, and I was sitting in the back of the class. I'm just listening. I was just blessed to be there, you know. But you see, this race is not for the swift, it's for those who endure to the end, you know. And your faithfulness, and your honor, will bring you before good men, before men, before honorable men. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, our desire is to honor you.